leaves, Jesus is going to lead me to the green pasture.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's pretty smart in my life.
Yeah.
But I'm just thankful. I'm thankful I'm saved. I'm thankful for my family. Taylor's not here. She's been at work today. Did I mention she's been at work today? I'm thankful for that. But I have children that want to be, they got a little bit of gumption to them.
Yeah.
A lot of kids today don't have a lot of gumption.
Right.
I'm thankful for Tatum that she works.
Amen.
She goes to school. I'm thankful for my wife.
Bless you, Brian. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Bless you, buddy.
Bless you, buddy.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
Bless you, buddy.
Laney's going to be 16 Tuesday.
Yeah.
Bless you, Brian. Bless you, buddy.
Oh, little lady. It's going to be 16 Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I just can't believe it. You know?
Yeah.
Bless you. Bless you. Yeah.
Thank you,
Brad.
I'm just so thankful for my family.
Amen.
Yeah.
Bless you.
They seem like they got some sense. You know what I mean? And it's just a blessing that my kids, they know who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they're following him. They're one of the sheep.
Amen.
And we're all in our little four little sheep line here, following the shepherd to the green pasture. And I know Lainey's got great things coming in front of her, just like Tatum does. And I'm just thankful that my kids get it. I'm thankful that they get Jesus. You know, there's a lot of kids out there that just don't get it. There's a lot of adults that don't get it.
Right.
And we could all aspire to be more like a sheep and follow that shepherd in a straight line. And if we go on straight, the shepherd is going to get us back in line. And I'm thankful for that Holy Spirit that keeps me in line.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit that indwells in Kelly, Tatum, and Lainey. That keeps us all in line. Because we need it. Every one of us need it. Just pray for us that we can keep our little sheepfold within the confines of the shepherd's grasp. That we can do our part.
Praise the Lord.
I'm not really sure about this, but I feel led. Phil, you mentioned the cross in the story, correct? I thought, how coincidental, but it's never a coincidence with God. I sat last night, and my family makes fun of me, because I'm one of those women who like to watch that Hallmark channel. Now, I don't think it was the Hallmark channel last night, but it was a channel similar to that if it wasn't. So this was a good, wholesome, clean little movie I watched last night. And in this little movie, this woman who portrayed a doctor had an accident, I believe it was, and she ended up, like so many of those movies are, same storyline. She ended up in a little town that she didn't know, and I think it was called Normal. But anyway, in that story, she met a young man who was a lawyer to his little town, and there was a cross on a piece of public property in that story that three lawyers came up against him and the town representing a man, and of course I know this wasn't real, but representing a man from Michigan, another whole state, not even near this little town called Normal in whatever state this was in. And he wanted that cross taken down. Well, in the end of the story, and I don't know why I feel led to say this, maybe this is just what we need to pray for. I don't know what property that cross is sitting on, but in this storyline, someone bought that piece of property, and which made it private property instead of public property, so that that cross could remain standing.
Yeah.
I just feel led to say that tonight. I don't know that it has any significance, but you know, I just know that is something my God can do
yeah.
in Washington, D.C., even though it was a fictitious little movie that I saw that in last night. But again, I saw that last night, and then to have Phil mention that this evening, I feel blessed to just share that. And maybe that is what we need to pray for that cross
right.
in Washington, D.C., yeah. that God will just be glorified and He will reveal Himself, if nowhere else but to right there at Washington, D.C., because Lord knows that needs it right now. Our country needs it right now.
Amen.
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 Charlie, that grave site is Vietnam. That grave site was to honor Vietnam veterans for their crosses. And that was something that they came up with, that they felt that it was going to, that it was meant to honor those who died when they were over in the Vietnam War.
Right.
I'm not real sure. This country's gone on a tangent here for the last 50 years where they say that they won't stand for intolerance. But it's time that it really is time that the United States Congress and the Supreme Court realizes that two or three people or 0.1% that stand up and says they want change cannot continue to condemn the 99.9% that chooses to honor history and honor those who gave their life.
Amen.
Somewhere along the line, it's going to have to stop. I'm not sure how to do that other than prayer. And when you go to vote, man, pray about who you're going to vote for. Because it's obvious the people that we're putting in there right now don't really care about America. They care about their party. And that's for all different parties that are there. It's become a mudslinging match, more or less, now than more than anything else. So we need to pray for the leadership of our country. But this constant abuse that the silent majority continues to absorb from the few that stand up and squeak the loudest about the cross, or about the Ten Commandments, or about
statues.
I just honestly don't know. It's going to take prayer.
Right.
And we have to realize that the only way that it's going to happen is if we affect change. And we need to pray about it. We need to affect change. I don't usually stand up and speak about politics. I don't want to talk about politics. But I want to talk about a disease that's almost like cancer that seems to be affecting the minds of the people that we put into these positions right now.
Right.
And it's a terrible shame that they've allowed the greatest nation in the world to begin to forget about their own history and forget about those who shed blood to keep the freedoms that they want. And it's shameful that it's like that. Y'all pray.
Bless you.
He was here, well, he was here longer than 3 years. If you go back way back from creation on. Think about that, that all of it's written, the earth cannot contain what it does. I heard this your same one time, and how he interpreted that, and I like his interpretation. That each and every one of us is a book that's being written. Each and every one. Whether it's good or bad, or mixture, whatever, we are, these were written in our own book. And we'll be judged for that. Actually,
posted. I said, oh, man. And so I said that, I told the group message about that I misinterpreted. And then the next morning, we got all that snow. And the test actually did get postponed like about an hour. And so I told the group, I said, well, I guess my thought did come true about being postponed. And when I got in the class, one or two of them said they were making a joke about it. And then they were saying, maybe it's because you're a preacher. Maybe it's because they told God to push back the test. And that, obviously, they were just joking around. But they kind of told me a little bit that they know that God is Lord.
Right.
There's something real more.
Right.
And not that had anything to do with that test, but that they know that God is in control of things.
Amen.
They know that God has something to do with that. So that's just kind of good for me to hear that they at least know it's real, whether they believe, whether they can follow it or not.
Right.
They at least know that God is real and in control. And I just want to thank you for giving me safe travels. The roads were bad that morning. Anything can happen when you're out on the roads, and I just want to give you thanks and praise for a good week. Good week and safe travels. It's just been a good week, and I just want to pray for you.
Amen.
Thanks,
Mark.
Thanks, buddy.
Anyone else?
That's right. I'd like to stand.
Bless you, Stan.
I'm so thankful for all my blessings. You know, I got down last night and was just saying my prayers before I went to bed, and I just prayed that, you know, part of everything that the Lord keeps, you know, hand protection over me and my family. That's almost been every one of my prayers. But about 11:30 last night, my sister texted me, and she never texts me that late. So usually when she does, something's wrong. But my niece, her daughter, had been involved in a car wreck. She works in Women and Children's Hospital there in Charleston. She was on her way home from work. And, she wrecked there in Boone County. She was all right for the car pieces, but you know, if I was thinking about it, you know, I've worked a lot of accidents in that general area where, you know, I've had to tell families that, you know, their loved ones weren't coming home.
Yeah.
You know, and my niece, she's lost, as far as I know, you know, very strong personality, and some of those are the hardest to get through, you know. But you know, I don't know if that was just part of the Lord trying to wake her up or work in her life. But, you know, I just pray that, you know, she comes to the Lord and, she listens to me and she respects me, and I'm hoping that, you know, I don't want to overstep my bounds with her, but you know, just remember me in your prayers that I'll be able to do.
I'm glad to be here tonight.
Bless you, Joe.
I just thank the Lord I grew up in the 40s and 50s. You know, I never imagined what our country is today.
Right.
Yeah. After 70 million babies being killed, and all the things going on in the things our kids, our grandkids, got to face and calm them down. It's just terrible, you know. I couldn't imagine back then how things are today. But, you know, it's really bad. I was watching Fox News one morning, and they had a comic book on there they were talking about, and the title was Jesus Freak. And you know, it just tore me up when I seen that. You know, just to think of what our country's come to today. And it's really sad, you know. But my grandson, he works, he's down at Disney World right now. He's serving the internship down there. But he had to go online to find three other guys that weren't homosexual. And it was hard to do. I mean, he really searched it out and everything. But, you know, just in the 40s and 50s, you wouldn't imagine anything like that. You know, I didn't go to college or I haven't got a college degree, but I thank the Lord where I got enough knowledge. I still got that little bit of knowledge to this day, you know, after all these years.
Amen.
You know, but it just amazes me how this country's turned around over the past years, and you know, it's sad, you know. But our kids, grandkids of college, they face things that I would never thought of, you know. And I appreciate the ones that's in college that stand up, you know, for Jesus and stand up for Christianity. You know, in the long run, they're going to come out ahead. It's just amazes me how things have turned over the past year. I know back in the 50s or 40s, you never thought anything like that would happen in this country. It's really sad. In a way, I think we're at fault because we let it happen.
Yep.
1973, had that Roe v. Wade. And the Christians stood south on that. You know, it should have been a lot more made out as it was. And I'm just thankful that I did grow up in a time when things, you know, I thought were a lot better. And today it's just not that way. I'm very thankful that I can come out to church and worship with my brothers and sisters that believe the same way I do.
Amen.
I thank the Lord.
That's Lord.
Especially y'all just remember people. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you,
Jack.
Bless you,
bud.
Anyone else? Okay. Well, I'll
expand.
The chorus of this first song kind of goes along with what everybody's been talking about here this evening, just all the things that are going on in our world and what we can do about it as Christians. And this chorus starts out, it says, "What if we really believed that God will meet our every need and nothing is impossible with Him?" And when I must surrender,
what Joseph dreamed. The coat of many colors was stained with blood and lies, but from his divine appointment, a ruler would arise. When God has another plan, walk on and just say yes. When God has another plan, be assured that he knows best. All your dreams are shattered, rest in his sufficient grace. We don't have to come from God's design. But if you could see tomorrow with a view from heaven's throne, every unexpected struggle has led you closer home. When God has another plan, walk on and just say yes. Has another plan, be assured that he knows best. When all your dreams are shattered, rest in his sufficient grace. We don't have to understand. We don't have to understand.
Got your Bibles, let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Okay, I think I got my microphone turned on there. What a great place to be tonight. What a great place to be this morning. Whether or not you were over here or over in the outreach center. God has blessed us. He has been here. His Spirit has been among us. And we are thankful for that. We have so much to be thankful for. You know, I always try, when I'm going to preach, I try to ask the Lord what is it you want me to say? What is it that we need to hear? I always try to pray that He would give me something a particular need that we might have, or something that of course you can't pick every need that everybody has, but as a church, what do we need to hear? And so I mulled it over and was thinking of different things and was asking for clarity and things like that. And, a lot of times, how preachers are, we think of things that God has given us to make the church better, sort of things to make things better, to make us more Christ-like. But as I was praying about this and asking what is it that you want us to hear, it was a little bit different this evening. And what it comes down to is I think that the Lord wants us to know that He loves us and He's proud of what we're doing.
Amen.
And in other words, He just wants us to know that we're on the right track, that you guys, that we're doing the right thing here at Gold Town. And I'm so excited about that. Growing up, you know how it is with your parents. You know that your parents love you. You know that they want the best for you. You know that they want to make you a better person. You know that they're always after you to do the things that you need to do in your life to be a better person. But every now and then, you just need to hear from them that they love you and that they're proud of you and that you're doing what they've asked you to do. And that's what God wants you to know tonight, is that He loves you and that you're doing the things that He wants you to do. And you say, well, how can you speak on His behalf like that? Well, one, I've asked him what we needed to hear. And number two, you can tell by the blessings that He has given us, His Spirit would not be among us if we were in the wrong and if we were doing things if we weren't about our Father's business. In other words, we wouldn't be having the Spirit and reaping the benefits that we have. And we're so blessed. But before we go, I know I said Philippians 4. And I'm going to do this a lot, I promise. I know that we've got this, and I'll go up there. But I'm going to guarantee it's going to change by the time I get up there to when I come down here. And so that's no fault of anybody. But before we go to that, Psalms chapter 150, because before we talk about how we've been blessed and how we've been a blessing, we always need to praise God. And this is what it says in Psalms 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And that's where we always need to start. We always need to start by giving God the glory. We talked about it this past Wednesday that a little bit. Charlie gave us the lesson on John chapter 17. And what a beautiful chapter that is. And how God was all, or how Jesus was always, he acknowledged who He was. He told us who He was, but He also always, at every chance He got, He always pointed to the Father. He always pointed and wanted to glorify the Father in heaven. He didn't have to do that, but he wanted to do that so that people would know who it is that deserves the praise and the glory for it all. So we do that tonight. We point our praise toward God. It says on here, with every stringed instrument and with cymbals. And that's what we do at this church. You'll notice we've got these pianos and this organ and even our cymbals over there. When we play the drums, our cymbals are glorifying God. And we're glorifying Him with our voices. We're glorifying Him with our actions. So I wanted to read that first before anything, because that's where all of our praise is pointed to. That's where all of our blessings come from. And that's who ultimately gets the blessings. But I want to turn now to, look, they went there with me. See, they're good. They're good. Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, it says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. So he's starting out right away talking about how much he appreciates his fellow churchgoers. This is Paul, and he's talking about how he appreciates the people of Philippi. And it says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." You can tell that Paul has affection towards these people that he has worshipped with, these people that he has come to, these people that have embraced him and embraced his message of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul was a very brave person because he took the message and he went out into the world. And he went out and he traveled to these places that didn't know who Christ was and didn't know the story. And he went to those places and he established churches. And he established followers, and he established disciples for Christ. And here in this chapter, he is talking to them, and we can see the affection. He is proud of these people who have stood fast in their faith. And it goes on, and he goes on to name some people. "I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow." I like how he called him yoke fellow. You know, we often talk about how Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you." And that's one thing at this church that we do is we take the yoke of other people. And that's what he's saying there. He calls him yoke fellow. "Help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And so, we've heard that scripture so many times. But he's telling his fellow Christians that they can always trust in the Lord, that they can have the peace which passeth all understanding. And he goes on, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." In other words, just do the right thing. And all those things that seemeth to be good, and all those things that to be just, to be fair, to be loving, to be, you know, gentle with people, all of those things, just do those in the Lord. And he shall be, the God of peace shall be with you. And so this evening, I just want to take some time and I want to thank you for all that you do for the upbuilding of his kingdom. I just want to thank you personally for all of the things that this church does that is a light into the community, because everything that we do is a blessing towards God. Everything that we do that we uplift his name. And I want to get down here because I really appreciate this church. I really appreciate this church. You know what? I kind of felt like, you know, as a pastor, as a preacher, you know, a lot of times you're thinking about you're giving pep talks to the church. But my kind of thought coming here this evening was I kind of felt like going into halftime as a coach, going in at halftime when we're up by a lot of points and just saying, "Hey, you guys are doing great, and just keep it up." That's how I truly feel tonight. That's how I feel. That's what I feel like God wants us to know, is that you're doing a great job, and he loves you, and he wants you to keep it up. Just keep it up, and you know, we know that we're victorious in the end. We know how the story ends. And so you say, well, you know, this battle that's going on, it's already been won. Yes, it's already been won. But that doesn't mean that we just sit down and lay down and not do anything, right? Because just because the battle is won for me, just because the battle is won for you, it's not won for everybody yet. The battle is not won for those who don't know it. The battle is not won for those who have not accepted the Lord into their life. That battle that they're facing a devil's hell. And that battle that they're facing. So the battle that we're in as Christians is to win those people. The battle that we're in is to seek those people and to be a blessing to them. And so when I say that we come in here at halftime and we're ahead, what I'm saying is that we're doing our job and just to keep it up, because there's a lot of other souls that need to be saved and blessed because of what you guys do here at Gold Town. There's a lot of lives that are going to be changed because of what we do here. And I just want to thank each and everybody that does these things. I looked at these steps over here. You know, I'm thankful for the ones who built these steps so that we can get up, so that our members can get up in the choir and praise God a little bit easier. So it makes their job a little bit easier to get up there. That takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of effort. That takes a lot of time and a lot of vision and a lot of sight. It seems small, but that is so big. That is so big. I was thinking about just the ones that changed these lights. The ones that changed these lights. And I told myself I wasn't going to say any names because, of course, you leave people out. But think about all the work that goes into here. We're going to have a baptism here next week. I'm thankful for the ones who had the foresight to put the baptistry right there. And to build it like it was, so that we can have a blessing here, and so that we can have a service where we see the victory that from the fruits of our labor here at this church. I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for the ones up here that play the instruments. You know, we take it for granted. But when they're not here, when nobody's here to do it, we know it. You know, we take it for granted. But we have not just this instrument, but we have the piano, the bass, we have the drums, we have the organ. I guess this is an organ, right? It can be anything, right? I'm thankful for that. You can switch it over and play piano on it. I couldn't, but somebody can. Judy can. But I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that those seats are filled up here. That this seat doesn't sit empty, that this seat gets used. And that the keys get touched and they don't have dust built up on them. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that when Stevie's not here, or Steve's not here to play the drums, that little Stevie will come up here and play for us. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that on youth Sundays, that our youth will get up here and will lead the service and will lead the singing and will show us their worship and how they do it and inspire us to do those things. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for one who's preaching with us now. One who coming is in college. And I said I wasn't going to say names, but you can figure out who it is. He could be doing a lot of things. But he's preaching the gospel, which is not an easy thing to do for anybody, let alone somebody in their early 20s. You in your early 20s, whoever I was speaking about? Okay, early 20s. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not real popular among the world of those people at your age. But I'm thankful that he's here and that he's doing that. And I'm thankful for the ones up here that run the sound, because, you know, they do way more than we think. They do way more than we think, and things would fall apart quickly if we didn't have that. If we didn't have someone to turn on the microphones, it'd be hard to hear what was going on. There's just so many things. I'm thankful for the ones who come in here when we're all gone. They come in here and they clean everything, and they sweep, and they clean up, and they do those things behind the scenes. I'm thankful for the ones who make the eggs over there and raise the money that they can put into purchasing the building that we use to reach kids and to reach other people. I'm thankful for all of those things. And the reason I'm saying I'm thankful is because I think the Lord wants us to know that he's thankful for those things. You know, we're doing his business. We're doing what he wants us to do. We're not perfect. We're not perfect, but just by being happy in the Lord, we are changing lives that we don't even realize that we're doing. I was thinking about that on the way, that those that are here, Before I get into that, let me say what else I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for that people can come to a church for the first time. People can come in here for the first time and feel inspired enough to stand and to say, I'm thankful that this church is doing what it's doing because I have a need in my heart. And they can just pour their heart out to us and feel that we're going to pray for them and we're going to pray for that situation. You know what? They're not here tonight, but somebody already requested, one of their fellow, you know, Christians requested prayer for them in their behalf. I won't say her name, but she's sitting right there. But that's what we do here, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for that. And I know that the Lord is thankful for that and what we do here. And you know, just felt led to tell us that. To tell you that what we do is so important. What we do is so important. And not only what we do here in this place, because we do some great things. When we testify, when we go up and, you know, you think it doesn't mean a lot that when you come up and pray that you feel people's hands on you, but it does. It means the world. When you come up here and pray and you hear all those voices that are hovering above you, and you know that they're praying on your behalf, that makes a world of difference rather than to come up here and pray by yourself. And I'm thankful that we have that. I'm thankful for the ones who might not even say anything, but they're here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. You might not ever hear their voice, but you see them here. And you know what that says? It says that they enjoy being here. And they find it important to be in the house of the Lord when the doors are open. That's what you call a silent witness. And that's what you call somebody who you might not have talked to, but over years and years, they were consistently serving the Lord. And what's the old saying? Actions speak louder than words. And those are the people that you see and you say, wow, those people are prayer warriors and those people are pillars in our church that have been here. The ones that stand at the door and greet people. Or show new people where to go on Sunday morning and show them, you know, how to go and how to find their classrooms. I'm just going on and on. But he's brought all these things to my mind to be thankful for. The card ministry. I could never do that. I could never do that. I'm not that organized. I couldn't, you know, to put all the stamps and to put all the names. But there are people who send cards out. And if you've ever gotten a card, when you're in going through a rough time and you get a card from somebody that's saying, I'm just thinking about you, it means the world. And it's a big thing. It's a big thing. But just being happy in the Lord makes such a big difference. I said it doesn't only matter in here, but I know that the people in here, I've seen them out in the world. I've run into them out in the hospitals and out at their workplaces and out at you know, at their jobs. And they're making a difference there because people see that they're happy in the Lord. People watch when they go through the things that they go through. People see that they have a peace which passeth all understanding, and that the God of peace is with them, and they're blessed. And that is what we do as we follow Him. You know, that's something that you can't really fake, but if you really love the Lord, then you'll have a peace about you that people see and the world sees. And it contradicts everything that the world says, because they see that you can be happy without going out and drinking. And you can be happy without going out and going to the dog track. And that you can be happy without spending your last dime or your last dollar trying to go and get the winning lottery ticket. They can see that you have something that the world is longing for, but you have it. And eventually they come around to where they say, you know what? They've got it. They've got what I need. And they can come to the Lord because you serve the Lord and you're happy in the Lord. I'm thankful for that. There's a lot of churches that don't have that. There's a lot of churches that go through the motions and they show up and there's one person doing everything or there's several people doing everything. But I feel like when we come here, we lift each other up. I'm so thankful for that. You know that when somebody has a need, a lot of times the preachers don't have to say, well, let's bring them up here to get anointed. You know, a lot of times somebody else sitting out here will say, why don't you come and be anointed? And they'll come up here. Have you guys noticed that? We don't have to do it all the time. You know, we would if it had to get to that. But a lot of times there's somebody sitting out here in these seats that beat us to it. And I love that. I love that. Don't stop with what you're doing. Don't stop with what you're doing. Know that it makes a difference. Whether it's seen or unseen, it's all recorded by Him. It's all seen by Him, whether or not other people see you do it or not. And what does the Bible say? All of these things come together for His glory. All of these things. You know, Charlie spoke this Wednesday, or this past Wednesday, John chapter 17. And in this whole chapter, Jesus is talking and He's praying. But He is thanking. He is thanking God for those that He has. And He says, you know, just for instance, I'll go down here. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine. Now, doesn't that sound like someone who is thankful for the people that God has given him? I think about Jesus at the Last Supper. I know that he was burdened by what was going to take place right afterwards, but I have to feel that he was so proud and he was so thankful for those men in that room that had been there for everything that he had done so far. I'm sure he felt so thankful to have them in his presence, to do his work, what he was preaching and what he was doing, and to know that when he left, that would be followed by them and that they would make other disciples just because of the way they believe and the things that they did and how they went out and how they lived their life. You see, they believed everything that they said and what they did. How do we know that? Because they laid down their life for what they believed in. They laid it down. They were punished for what they believed in. They were stoned for what they believed in. They were thrown in jail for what they believed in. But yet, what did they do? They would go to the jail and they would sing praises to God. And they were blessings on people. That is how God's word has spread, through people who believe it and who live it, and who live the love that Jesus Christ gave. When you look at Christianity and you compare it to all of the other religions in the world, nothing compares to the way that Christianity has established itself in this world. You just think about the love that comes out when these disasters hit. The love that comes out. Just think in our community when we had those great floods, the churches that flocked there, that gave the shelter and that gave the food and that gave the love of Christ. We're making a difference. I know a lot of times it's easy to look at the world and just to see how wicked things have become. And just to see, and it's easy to get discouraged. And it's easy to get down about what has happened in this world. But there are people like you that go out and live in this world and show people what it is to follow Christ. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that. He said in Matthew chapter 5, he said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. And it says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And so those are great compliments that Jesus gives us. That we are the salt of the earth. That we are the light of the world. And it says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let me say this. I know a lot of times it seems like nobody's paying attention to how you live your life for Christ. But they are. They are. Your families are. Your co-workers are. Your best friends that you've gone to school with from high school all the way up until now. They see your life and the things that you do in your church, whether they're here or not. And they're blessed by those things. Your children, they see what you do and how you do things for Christ. And they remember those things. And they're blessed. What I say this evening is keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up, because we have great things to look forward to. Staying in chapter 5, I'll just go through some of the things he says. Beginning with verse 3, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That one really sticks out to me right now, because it seems like a lot in the world doesn't thirst after righteousness. But we've heard it tonight, that there are people in here who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, talking about the monument that they're trying to get rid of. We're crying out, where is the righteousness in this country? Where is the righteousness? Well, what does Jesus say about that? He says, we shall be filled. We shall be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And going back to Philippians, it says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You see, we're not in any different situation than they were. They were in the same world that we are in, and yet they stood fast. Going all the way back to the Old Testament, the prophets, they followed God and they kept His commandments. And they were persecuted, but the world is blessed because of what they have done. And then we go to Philippians, where we just talked. They were persecuted. They were different. They were called out to be different from the world. And yet they stood fast, and the world was blessed. And then we come to you all today, and we say the same thing, that you're just like the prophets, and you're just like the Philippians, and you're just like the early Christians. And just keep up the good work, because you will be rewarded. You'll be rewarded. I love that promise. For great is your reward in heaven. That's what we have to look forward to. Jesus reminded his disciples that he is going to a place, he is preparing a place for them, that where he is, they shall be also. He's always giving us promises of what we have to come. As we get a song of invitation, I'll try to wrap up. But I just want to say this. This world is so... I don't know about you all. I don't know about you all, but I think it's tough living in a day-to-day in this world. And I think it's always been tough to live in this world day-to-day, because there are things out here that can kill you pretty fast. There are things out here that can drag you down pretty fast. There are things out here that can enslave you pretty fast. There is sin out here that, you know, ever since Adam and Eve left the garden, God said, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for men and women to live in this world, because we're constantly, you know, carving our way out in this place. And we have to work at being good. We have to work at being true to God's word. I mean, it's hard work. It really is. You can't just stop doing whatever you're doing and expect to be blessed. It's a constant battle to get up, you know, week after week and to go and do the things that you do for the church. It's a constant battle. It's a constant battle to try to raise your kids and protect them in this world. And to try to make sure that they have the right balance and that they have the right home that's going to outweigh everything that they see when they go to school every day. It's a challenge. And it's hard. It's hard work. But He gives us what we need to get through this world. He gives us what we need to go through and to live for Him in this world. He gives us blessings. He gives us reminders. He gives us things that we can see that know that we're on the right track and we're doing the right things for Him. But this is what I want to say, saying all that. This world is tough, but it's temporary. Amen?
Yeah.
This world, I mean, think about the struggles just to live and just to go through this world. But in the scheme of things, it's very temporary. James said it was like a vapor. And here's the best part. The tough part is temporary, but the reward part is eternal. Amen? It's hard to remember sometimes when we're going through these struggles. It's hard to remember. When we think about Paul and what he went through, when we think about Stephen, when we think about the disciples, Peter, and when we think about Jesus, what he went through, we look and we say, how could their lives end so cruelly? How could they be treated so badly? But think of them now. And they haven't had to worry about that for a long time, and they won't ever have to worry about it again. And they sit in their reward, as do those that we know among us that have toiled and that have, you know, been through hard times. Those that we've lost to cancer, those that we've lost, you know, to crime, those that we've lost, you know, at an early age, all of those things, we know that they rest in the Lord and they have a reward in heaven. Isn't that good to know and to be reminded of? You know, it seems like, maybe it might seem like this was everywhere tonight, but this is the main thing that God wants you to know. He loves you, that He's proud of us, and wants us to keep up what we're doing. Keep living for Him. Keep having a peace and a joy that He gives us. Keep praying for our brothers and sisters. Keep lifting them up in prayer. Keep testifying. Keep preaching. Keep teaching our kids. Keep doing all these things because you are making a big difference. You think about, the Bible says, the multitude of sins that are hidden. You think about when you change a person's life for Christ. Let's say you change a man's life for Christ. You think about how his kids are rewarded because of that change that happens in his life. And maybe his grandkids and his great-grandkids. That changes a whole cycle of things that might otherwise have gone on just because of one person's faith. We're making a difference. As we get a song of invitation, if you have a need tonight or if you just want to praise the Lord, then we ask you to come at this time and to seek His face as we sing.
Let's all stand. Page number 11. Number 11.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
So I forgot to mention, I was so proud of the choir here this morning. It was a blessing to see, because we even had to bring out an extra chair over there because of the back row. And look, there's another chair over there. And seeing new faces in the choir, young people, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing. We have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be thankful for, and we're thankful for those things. Anything else before we dismiss tonight?
I came in here, Mike and him invited us to church. I'm sitting right over where Rick is now. First time I've ever been here. Didn't know Al from Adam's house camp. he called on me to pray when he left when the service was over.
Yeah, bless
first
you.
First time I was here.
Amen. Amen.
First time I was here.
Amen.